This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to the third installment of my conversation with Barry Erickson from the University of Washington. This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Barry and I have been talking about authenticity, persuasion. We're here on the third part to talk about the future of sales. If you didn't, make sure to check out part one and part two because it's all building leading up to it. And Barry has shared so many valuable things, literally a masterclass on the podcast of authentic persuasion and what he's helping the future of sales understand. And he's coming at this. If you didn't check out the other ones yet, please do. But if you haven't, Barry comes to his teaching role that he's been doing for 6 years as a part of Foster's School of Business at the University of Washington from a sales career of over 30 years that includes sales leadership, and being a part of Fortune 500 companies, some big brands, selling to some bigger brands. If you caught the other ones, you would understand it. And so he's here to talk about sales, and we're going to jump into the future of sales. Barry, you ready to go?
You bet.
All right. So let's talk about this. When I think of the future of sales, and when I think of a conversation with you and what you're doing, it's all about the future of sales because that's who you're literally standing up in front of, you know, week after week is the future of sales. When you look at that, how do you see the future with, let's say, customers, what they want in the future, which could also be now, from a salesperson versus when you were in sales, when you started in sales, and what they wanted or tolerated?
I'll start with a little background. We teach various types of sales organization structures. We teach the geographical structure where I have the state of Washington, Jason has the state of Oregon, Mary has the state of California, very clear split. And you perform all the functions within your state. You do the initial calling, you do the account development, you do the service side, you do the recontracting side, and you handle all of that. You also handle the product expertise. So, you know, there's that traditional approach to doing things. You also might have a product-based approach where Jason is the handheld computer expert, I'm the desktop computer expert, and Mary is the mainframe computer expert, and we each sell in all of the regions those product types. That is a more of a traditional approach to it as well. But where I'm seeing the future going, Jason, is what I call the functional approach, which is we're splitting up the tasks of the salesperson into small categories, and we're hiring people to strictly do those categories. It's not a novel concept for some, but for most businesses, I see my students who are getting hired at 22, and they are BDRs, business development reps, and they cold call all day long. They got to make 100 calls a day. Then they pass it on to an account rep, and the account rep warms up the client till we get to the point that we're ready to make a quotation. Then we bring in a quotation engineer, if you will, who gets the specs of the customers and builds the solution and prices the solution. Then we have a customer service department that takes care of the customer after they've been onboarded. Oh, and by the way, we have an onboarding rep too. So we've got all that sales cycle that you and I used to do in our state of Washington, everything, you, the state of Oregon, everything. And we're splintering up the tasks. It can be very efficient, as you can imagine. But the customer, therefore, has many, many different relationship types. And what I'm starting to see now, Jason, is we then have to bring in, and as you can probably tell, I have a little bit of concern in my voice here, because now we're bringing in the strategic account manager who manages all of these functions to be a single relationship for the customer. So while the functions are very efficient, I think we are splintering things up too much.
Yeah, because in what you're talking about, which is very common in B B2B companies, especially in tech sales, is somebody who's over time becomes really good at their role on the team and in the process, right? Like if it's a factory, they're very good at, you know, welding the doors on the car.
Yes.
And then and then it moves down to somebody else who's, you know, responsible for the engine and the paint and so on. Which is good because that person gets really good at what they're at. But, you know, then what you're talking about is this siloed nature and lots of handoffs and a client who wants a relationship, but they're basically like jumping from relationship to relationship.
Correct statement. Yes. Not across the board, but just something that I see. I don't find as many of my students who get hired in the way when I started, you did it all. Now, there's probably some inefficiency in that, but I don't see much of that anymore. And it's kind of too bad because part of me, the reason I loved sales is because you did so many different things. It'd be very tough to sit down and cold call all day long, every day, and then you do it again tomorrow, and you do it again tomorrow, and you do it again tomorrow. That could be a tough go.
Why do you think that changed? Just the goal of efficiency or realizing it's hard to find someone who can go from cold calling to relationship building to long-term sales as one individual?
Jason, we've talked about how this role of the salesperson has changed over time from a feature dumper back 2-3 decades ago when I started. It was memorize the product and push the features on the customers in a transactional approach. Now we know it's needs-based, and I think what perhaps we're finding is the needs-based solutions for the customer doesn't allow enough time to do cold calling as well. So perhaps I'm thinking it's a time commitment standpoint in some regards, and the skill set for harvesting that solution for the customer might be a different skill set than that cold calling skill set. And the obvious one is you can hire a 22-year-old graduate out of the University of Washington sales program a lot cheaper to make those cold calls than to have that 10 to 15 to 20 year industry product experienced individual making those cold calls. So maybe they're just looking at it from an economic standpoint.
Yeah, there's so many different reasons why that would be. When we're looking at the customers, consumers, buyers, all of that from their side, what do you think they want less of now or in the future from salespeople?
I think the information is so readily available for them that they don't need that feature dumping element to it. I think they are looking for a partner, looking for a consultant, someone to be their problem solver. And they're looking for somebody who can be very resourceful and that who can provide the engineering support that perhaps their company doesn't want to employ. The partnerships that I've been involved with have focused on smaller companies that don't want to add engineering support services. They'd rather just subcontract that to their great partner who already has a great engineering department. Maybe that happens to be the products that I was always representing. But back to your original question, I think they are looking for that solution provider partner to save them on duplicating some of the engineering efforts, in my mind.
Yeah. And no matter what the industry, I think you're absolutely correct, which is people have all the access to all the information and data and features, right? Like you said, not a feature dumper anymore because people can find all the features, right? About anything. There's very few things out there that you can't find some info about that, you know, you need to call a salesperson so they can read off the brochure for you, right?
Right.
Like, that's not a thing. Some products, some people hide their stuff, but most of the time people have a general idea. And then they just want that person to help them, like you said, with the needs-based. What do you see? Because again, looking back, rotary phone, printed list, phone book, to now, and everything that's available, what tech for salespeople are you excited about? What sales technology do you not like? What do you see now and in the future?
A great point. Like you said, you can buy your leads virtually anywhere, right? You can find those leads, but I was talking to some of my graduates recently about those purchased sales leads that they're getting, and their feedback. By the way, I'm not indicting any of those services, and I don't want everybody, you know, sending threatening calls to me if they are a lead generating service. But the reps that I talk to say that those purchased lead lists have already been poached out by a lot of their competitors. So there's a lot of calls, just like we experience at home with these spam calls. Companies are getting a lot of solicitations based on these lead lists, and the cold callers don't even know what the company does. So my point to you is this. My students say, Mr. Erickson, you always told us we have to prepare our calls with our customers. We have to know what our customers do, relatively speaking, to see if our product could possibly have a solution. But what they're telling me is when they buy these lead lists, most of the companies have no business partnering with their company. My point being, a lot of these cold call lists, people literally just start calling and they don't even know anything about the customers. Where at least I can say, and this isn't ego talking, but at least I've asked my graduates, know something about the customer before you call them. And what they're telling me is, boy, these lead lists really don't have a lot of targets on them. We have to find those companies on our own.
Yeah, and really, if you're able to get a list that doesn't have any details or segmentation, and you can call everyone on that list, and you're selling something that could apply to all of them, then you're selling a commodity that's very transactional that is also easily replaceable. And you're probably not going to make a ton of money at it. What about from the technology side? Is there any technology you're excited about? Something, you know, the I wish I had that, this is amazing, you know, type of technology information?
I'm not real excited about the robocall software. Unfortunately, in B2B, we don't face that so much. That's more of a B2C type of thing, you know, the robocall nature. However, there is some great sales enablement software that seems to have a real good analytics on what types of customers mate well with the product that is being sold. So we just talked about cold calling, where we don't know much about the customer and therefore it doesn't develop into a partnership. But there's some sales enablement software out there that seems to profile the right customer and feeds to its salespeople who you should target. So you don't have to go through all that painstaking research on your own. It does it for you. That's some products that I am excited to encounter. I don't get into the level of detail, but I know that's a real plus. There's also some sales cadence software, much like these CRM systems, that do the organizing for you on when you should be calling back to the customer, because they can identify when the contract is due, when would be a good time to call to get on the bidders list for a contract, and manages the schedule for you so you don't have to manage it yourself. Nothing novel from a CRM, but just something that can be bolted onto a CRM system to really help you from a timing standpoint so you know how to use your time. But I will, again, Jason, call me old school if you will. I still think the best things we can do is plug Tuesday from 9 a.m. to noon and Thursday from noon to 3 p.m. do nothing but your prospecting. It's old school, but that's the one thing that when I talk to employers, they find that their first sets of sales reps allow the email to dictate their day. They allow those lesser impact activities to eat up their day. And they wish they could find that student who has the appreciation, or I should say new employee that has that appreciation for, I know I have to dedicate myself X hours a week to that prospecting function. And that's what they tell me they're looking for.
I work with teams and companies where that's some of the training that we do, is that controlling the schedule and spending that prospecting time, that outreach time, over the reactionary time, or at least budgeting all of it in so you make sure you get it all done. But right. You know, get the important stuff done first, right? Like eat your vegetables first. it's that same mode. You might not like it, but it's important and it keeps you alive and keeps you healthy. Yeah. So you got to do it. Now, one thing I was asking people on the show, and then I realized like I'm just wrong. And so is thinking that the future generation may or may not be interested in calling. They may just try chat. They might just try texting. They might want to, you know, emails, do everything offline. And I've had enough of these conversations to know that the future people that are gravitating towards a sales program are also the people who understand the value in phone calls and relationships. Where are you seeing that? How are you encouraging that? Are you seeing that? Am I correct in this, you know, what I'm seeing across other programs as well?
Yeah, I'll just tell you this. Email is not even so yesterday. It's so last century. I just give you my personal experience. I can't get students to read email. I can't get them to get back to an email. I've learned that. I'm not going to fight it anymore. Obviously, texting is absolutely on the doorstep. And that's nothing novel. I'm just saying it still is from a text standpoint. And LinkedIn certainly seems to have done a better job of replacing that email, if you will. I'm telling you nothing really novel, but I will also say this. They have, at least my students, have not forgotten the phone call. They will respond to the phone call, but they require the text first. I'll send it. If I want a student to pick up the phone, obviously, they're not going to pick up my telephone number unless they know who I am. But I send them a quick text to say, I'm going to call you, or could you please call me? And boy, they'll get right back to me. Or they'll pick up the phone when I call them because they now have my number plugged in. They will not obviously pick up a unfamiliar telephone number, but they'll pick up mine when they know my name's in there. So I've learned the cadence with the students. And if you can create a little familiarity, they have not lost that function, but forget the email.
I love it. It's so true. And it's interesting how many salespeople default to emails or the other messages, you know, and it's the combination, like you said, the LinkedIn, the text, the phone calls. Yeah. I love it. I think that's so important to remember. I think, you know, a lot of stuff that we talked about in the first and second parts also about the future of sales and, you know, what you saw from before and what you're teaching the students now. And again, Barry, I appreciate you being here on the show. Again, for people who are tuning into this, the links will be in the show notes. They can find you on LinkedIn at Barry Erickson on LinkedIn. And then also I'll put the link for the program, for your program, but the Foster School of Business at University of Washington. People Google that, look that up, and look up the sales program to find what you're a part of and hopefully, you know, get in touch with you. Again, Barry, thank you so much. Three rounds of this. You've definitely earned that coffee you got at the second one there. And I appreciate all your time and your wisdom and everything you're doing to impact the future of sales.
Thank you, Jason. Real pleasure. Love talking with folks that are passionate about sales because we're not everywhere.
Yeah, and that's what I love about this most is getting this kind of message out there so people see like, wow, sales is something different. Professional sales at a different level than the transactional stuff is just different. It's not better. It's just different. And what's the world of sales really involve? What is that like? And again, part of my mission to help fill the world with authentic persuaders and change sales from being a dirty word that people think, oh, that's gross. I don't want to get into sales because you have to do this in sales or do that. Instead, all the stuff that Barry has been talking about and sharing, and hopefully you've taken to heart if you've been tuning into this. And I appreciate you being a part of this. And again, till next time when I have another great guest on the show, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.